the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Droma here alongside the State of Hoppy, and we thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening for this bonus episode of the Soda Pod. Listen, you all know why we're jumping on the mic for this Thursday bonus episode. Kirill Kaprizov is back. He's back in Minnesota. He's back on the ice. He's back with the team. Some people think the contract is ridiculous. Some people are forgetting that they were even protesting in the streets with their pitchforks. The love is back for this guy. And we're going to dive into all that and more on this episode of the Soda Pod, this bonus episode of the Soda Pod. First and foremost, though, Hoppy, how are you, sir?
I mean, man, as much as we've gone back and forth on the Guerin versus Kaprizov stuff, I'm just fucking relieved. He's playing here for the next 5 years. We can get into the semantics of it, but everyone is breathing a sigh of relief. And I'm going to lead in with this, Isha. The timing was incredible, not just with, you know, obviously everything with the hockey schedule, but he literally signed and agreed the last day of summer, transitioning into my favorite 3 weeks in Minnesota being the fall.
Yeah, you're a big fall guy. You're a big fall guy.
Dude, why wouldn't you be? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to wear my shorts and hoodie in the winter until I can't. Anyone that didn't listen to the Dave Infante interview, I guess you don't get that. But no, dude, fall is so incredible. It's like the perfect middle ground weather where, like, I'm not sweating, but I'm also not fighting to stay warm. It's right in that middle ground. That's when you're having bonfires, you're doing stuff outside. Like, that to me is happiness. If I could have that year round anywhere, I'd move there. But
I do enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. For me, the only negative is that the summer is ending and the days get shorter. And it never used to affect me, but it really is. Like, I hate short days. I hate when the sun is gone by like 7 o'clock.
How much sunlight can you see right now in your studio?
Yeah, well, I spend, you know, 4 hours max a week in this studio, so it's not too much.
Okay, but how much are you spending in the greater studio office space?
I go for walks. I take my breaks.
Okay.
I bike to work.
Whatever. Fair enough. Move on.
Look, I have an office job. I'm not going to complain, okay? I built a hockey podcast network. Oh, poor me. Let's get back to Kaprizov here. That's the main topic of the show. Before we just run down some housekeeping notes, Nedetsurovia, Hoppy. Cheers. And yes, we are drinking vodka. Why would we drink anything else but vodka in toast to Kirill Kaprizov?
Oh, baby. The unofficial vodka of Kirill Kaprizov, Northland Vodka. Mix it with Capri Sun like I do. Call it Capri Sun. Call it whatever the hell you want when you want to mix those two words together. It is what we live for. For the next 5 fucking years.
Hey, we got the two wingers, the two talented wingers, the two best players on the Minnesota Wild back for next season. Let's fucking go. A reminder to listen today to the Brewery Travels podcast as well. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. You can hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at The Soda Pod. We're totally interactive. You can leave a text or voicemail as well, 612-324-1684. And the Hockey Podcast Network and The Soda Pod are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. Let's jump right into it. Hoppy, Kirill Kaprizov, he's back. Overall, relieved, happy here on the Soda Pod. It was a necessity. This was the plan to bring this player back, sign him long-term. Let's get into the nitty-gritty, though, Hop. Where do you want to start?
I mean, let's just be blunt. Like, I've been saying it this whole time, and I'll still absolutely stand by it, is giving him $9 million a year over 5 years more than he is worth? Objectively, yes. Am I also okay with the deal that was struck? Also, yes. But I mean, Russo even said as much, man, when he jumped on KFan right when the news broke. He said, listen, like, people that have been getting this right for a while, been pretty accurate. the good folks over at Evolving Hockey / Evolving Wild, they had a 5-year contract projected at $7 million. Crazy. Right around where you and I have been talking about it being. Obviously, this is a unique situation. This isn't your standard player coming off an ELC. This isn't the standard position for a player in a franchise where, again, I mean, it's crazy to say after 55 games, but he's still the most talented player that has ever worn a Wild jersey. So while, again, I stand by the fact that this contract is an overpay, doesn't mean I'm upset.
Yeah, and it's funny that we both kind of land there. I'd say the majority of, I don't know if I'm going to say Wild Twitter, but Wild fans kind of land there. Greater hockey fans kind of understand that. I think just the craziest thing, though, is historically, I don't think a contract of this magnitude, of this cap hit anyways, has been given to a player who's played under 80 games in the National Hockey League. Again, unique situations as he played 6 years in the KHL prior and he was only 24 years old. Like, again, this situation we haven't really seen in the National Hockey League maybe since the 70s and 80s. Right? Like, until there were European players coming over with experience in a hockey league that at the time rivaled the NHL in certain aspects, you know, where you could get, you know, a Swedish player or a Russian player to come over and pay them those big bucks because you knew they were going to dominate. You've seen them dominate. Hell, the Soviet team used to play, you know, NHL teams. They had the USSR versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Like, I remember watching those series. Those were insane. So, there was a lot more of, I guess, data, and you knew that the playing fields were a little bit more even then. This time around, I mean, we've seen the Nikita Gusevs of the world come over to the NHL and not be able to perform. Kirill Kaprizov, yes, but small sample size. I really, truly believe it's going to be sustainable. But as our former producer of the show, Dylan Kayser, was telling me, what if the most Minnesota thing happened and this guy just became a 40-point player for the rest of his career?
Disagree. That is not the most Minnesota thing ever. The most Minnesota thing ever would have been them losing him somehow this year. Whether that's staying in Russia, being forced to trade him, whatever, that is Minnesota. Losing great talent, not having the talent turn into nothing. Just a brief Minnesota history lesson for
okay.
you.
Okay, fair enough. But how much of a sting would that be? Honestly, I mean, I can answer it from a financial point of view where you've got dead money on the books. And then let's just say 2-3 years, this guy shrivels up Jonathan Chichu style. The Wild are royally fucked at that point as their rebuild, retool, turnaround, Billy Guerin's plan is going to be compromised and they're going to have to change some things around.
All right, but I'll go from the Billy Guerin perspective here, okay?
Hoppy defending his friend Billy Guerin. Big, big surprise.
First off, friend. I wish he was my friend. From his vantage point, right? You let this guy who is adored by everyone, but clearly the best player the Wild have ever had, which isn't saying a ton offensively. Like, he'd be scorched for it. Knowing that, like, people were starting to side with him in this later on, people would still hold on to that. Whereas he keeps him the way everyone wanted. Hindsight's 2020, right? God bless you, Captain Hindsight. Like, we get it, but I think it would go over a lot better with the way everyone projects this player, right? Like, no one would see this player falling off a cliff. And guess what? With all the dead money and everything, pretty easy for Bill Guerin to just, like, pump the brakes, turn it around and be like, well, let's lose for a couple of years since we're stuck with money anyways. We're not going to be anything. Pretty easy for him to write that off and say, hey, we're going to rebuild. We've still got the right people here. We've got a good pipeline to be good in a couple of years. This is my one kind of redo. And guess what? I'm going to come out of this without any dead money on the books. Let's see what I can do. And I think largely, unless something else went catastrophically wrong or something comes up with that, you know, Wilkes-Barre Scranton story that came up before, like outside of something crazy that we haven't seen, I think he'd survive it and he'd get one more go at really constructing that contender. But let's go tinfoil hat here for a second, because I kind of thought about this a little bit after the signing happened. What if this was a Bill Guerin ploy, right? That, like, we waited. He knew Kaprizov was going to be here for the start of training camp because he's vaccinated, all that shit. And this is a push that everyone, like, it's still attention, right? It's media attention. You're getting eyes on the team. People are talking about the Wild. And all it's teeing him up for is to be the hero that still got Kaprizov here and missed zero training camp time.
That's true.
Like, this could be something that they had orchestrated this whole time. Is that what I think? Probably not, but it's not unrealistic.
Hey, right? The media plays games. The NHL franchise, they're allowed to play games too. General managers, they're allowed to pull some strings. Look at Brian Burke. He'll be blunt with you with some of the strings he pulled and some things he orchestrated behind the scenes as well. And one other thing I was talking to Dylan about yesterday too is that this situation, yeah, we roll our eyes and we're like, of course, it's happening to Minnesota. But if any other team was in this situation, they would have done the same thing. If they were in the situation with this player, this unique situation, they would all do the same thing, whether it was the New York Rangers or fucking Florida Panthers, right? It didn't matter.
Really weird teams you picked there.
Well, just like being
targeted Russian locations.
That's wow. Like, you just highlighted that wasn't even on my mind there, but sure, I'll take it. I'll take it. But I was more going for like cream of the crop franchises, those struggling at the bottom sort of thing. Non-likely destinations and like the Florida Panthers for a hockey
guy. Move on. We're good.
Yeah. Guy from Siberia going to a beach. Boo-hoo. But again, maybe Kirill just loves it in Minnesota too. And he's like, look, I want to be here. Like, you know, this place is pretty much home to me. You know, there's snow just as many months of the year. I love it. Okay. So we're on the same page there overall. I like how you put the tinfoil hat on there. There is a lot of different, I guess, the spider web of possibilities of storylines and narratives, how we got to this point. And that's going to continue. People are going to continue to talk about that as well. Anything else you want to hit on before we dive into kind of what, even just in our small cohort of media and friends and fans of the Soda Pod that we interact with, just the interaction we've had on Twitter and the reaction we saw thus far?
Well, a lot of it is the reactionary stuff, though, right? Like, it's funny to step back and analyze it. Yeah, necessarily diving in on the comments themselves, but because
exactly.
A lot of them are, like, multiplied, Isha. But, like, there's people that are like, oh, anyone that didn't think Kaprizov would be here for start of training camp, like, you're a bozo, you're an idiot. Like, no, shut your fucking mouth. Like, two days ago, as we record this on Wednesday, we did not think that he would be starting training camp. Russo said as much. So unless you're somehow more plugged in than Michael Russo, who is the most plugged in individual on the Minnesota Wild. Yes, that includes wonderful daily face-off correspondent who people are still dunking on from that tweet about Russia. Always going to be fun. For me, Isha, it's just like, no, that's what the concern was, right? I didn't care until there was threat of not making it to training camp. And that's when my blood started boiling. It's like, what the hell? Like, he's going to sign a 9x5. That's been reported for 6 weeks that Russo was sitting on that. If he misses training camp time and the numbers are similar, I'm going to be pretty pissed off. Now, again, Kaprizov had in the back pocket. Clearly, he was never going to miss training camp. But the casual viewer, heck, even people like us that are following more closely, had no fucking clue. And anyone that says otherwise is a bozo. So shut up, you donkeys. But even just funny things like, well, now we just need to get him a 1C. People commenting to Russo. It's like, Jesus Christ, move on immediately to the next thing. There is no wait. And that's how you know you're in Minnesota. It's a love-hate thing. It's a love-hate thing, right?
No, yes, that is for sure. But, I mean, that's just sports fans, man. Okay.
I love it.
We're satisfied here. Move on to the next thing that we can just get fired up about. And Twitter, just an unbelievable avenue for sports fans, man. It's truly...
It's nuts, man. And I will say, too, like, I want to step on this because, again, I've been one of the people kind of pounding the drum of I'm totally Team Garen, not Team Kaprizov. It was all about the fact of how long it was dragging out. Like, we know that he stepped in at the end and made it happen. And guess what? It happened in time. That's awesome. Had it not, that's really where I was going to be upset. And the fact that Kaprizov should have stepped in weeks ago, again, not knowing this fact that he kind of had this backdoor plan all along. But kudos to Bill Guerin. Like, again, held his composure. I still think that, again, Kaprizov's overpaid for what he's done, but we might be looking back in 3 or 4 years and be like, fuck, we got him for $9. Let's go. We don't know that.
That's the dream. That's right. The dream. Yeah.
Right. We can hope. But end of the day, like, again, I will absolutely admit that I've been critical of how the Kaprizov camp has handled this. I'm very happy it's done, even though, like, is it perfect? No. But did it have to happen for the Minnesota Wild to move forward with what they're trying to do? I'd argue yes, they yeah. did.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. I'm just excited now, and I'm excited as a Minnesota Wild fan and someone covering this team. I'm terrified for the Vancouver Canucks because now, oh boy.
That sets the number for Petey, baby.
It sets the number for Petey, and apparently Hughes wants none of what Rasmus Dahlin's contract looks like. He's like, yeah,
why
no,
would
thank
he?
You. No, I know. I'm just.
Let's be real. I do think that, like, 3 years from now, I do think Rasmus Dahlin probably has more of a ceiling than Hughes does. But as far as what's been proven up to this point, Hughes has absolutely delivered. Part of it is location, right? Like, obviously, if Hughes was in Buffalo, it might not be the same story. But, dude, if I was Hughes, I'd be demanding quite a bit too. And shit, man, we've been hearing interviews with Jack Hughes, right? Like, it's no secret that the brothers are uniting in New Jersey. Like, at what point, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, do you say, like, instead of dragging this out and, like, risking, like, minimal return, why don't you turn around and look and say, okay, what does New Jersey have that I want?
Nothing.
Let's just fucking do it now.
Jack, that's it.
I don't see that working out. But all right, we'll move past that. We'll tell you what. We'll leave that behind. We'll talk about something much more joyous here, Isha. I say that tongue-in-cheek, and I do apologize. Derek Felska, I love you. I appreciate your non-homerism because guess what? I'm the same way. I try and view everything objectively. A lot of times I'm one of the voices that's sitting here defending you. I'm just going to be honest right now, and you can absolutely jump on with us sometime here to defend and give your side. Don't agree with a lot of what Derek Felska is saying right now on Twitter. Totally get that, like, is it ideal that he got a no-trade clause full for years 4 and 5? Like, no, it's not ideal, but guess what? That does not ruin this deal and turn it back into a 3-year deal. Like, let's cut this up a little bit. We just got Kaprizov locked in from now until he's 29 years old. Literally what should be the best 5 years of his career. Even if he walks for nothing after that, we came out better than what Panarin gave to the Blackhawks, to Columbus Blue Jackets. We have him. And a no-trade clause does not mean that he can't be traded. Like, yes, does it give him a lot of control? Sure. Guess what? Let's not fuck it up in the meantime and give him a reason to want to leave, right? If Guerin keeps doing what he's doing, builds this team properly, and, oh, wow, the 5th year is the year where we're free of all cap constraints and we can go all in, it's on us at that point if he wants to leave. And guess what? If Kaprizov just chooses, while we have a contender in place for years 5 and 6, we'll just throw in a 6 for the sense of this. If he chooses to just up and leave in the middle of building a cup contender, he's going to be fucking hated. Hated. And that's not on Guerin. Like, that is on him being a selfish prick. And we're looking way down the line. Like, this is, like, totally out of nowhere, but let's not worry about year 5. Like, we literally have this guy for the next 5 years, what could be his best years. And yeah, there's some cap things to figure out, but largely it's manageable and circumventable. So now we just need to figure out, do we have what we need in these kids? Do we have what we need in Rossi and Boldy to step in and contribute? Whether that's this year, like, this year's obviously ideal because this is when we've got room to, like, bring in other pieces and make a little bit of a push for a run to get some experience. Wild aren't winning the cup this year, folks. If you think that's the case,
not happening.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, again, I'm with Derek on not pandering to homers. The Wild will not win the Stanley Cup this year. But guess
fourth
what?
Fourth in the division, they're going to get tuned by the Avs in the first round. Okay?
Let's break this down. I think this is oversimplifying, obviously, but let's remove any injuries from the discussion. if you get both Boldy and Rossi contributing by middle of the season, like actually playing in the top six, I think they can hit three. If you get neither of them playing a real consistent role throughout the year, I think the floor is six. So they could miss the playoffs. But realistically, we're looking at a 4-5 spot, right?
Yeah.
Right there on the edge of contention. And guess what? Get to the playoffs. And I think for Bill Guerin, it's a win if you just win the first round, which obviously hinges on probably not playing Vegas or Colorado in round one. So you really want that three spot?
At least Darcy Kuemper now is with Colorado. So when he plays like shit against the Wild, at least, you know, that helps them out a little bit.
I mean, let's hope that holds true. I still don't know how much I trust it, but
it
will. Like, again, this isn't me bashing the Wild or anything. This is a different division. There's some good teams that have only solidified themselves. People will yell at me. I don't care. Top three in some order is Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, unless something crazy happens. That is the top three. That is the top three. I would love anyone to come on here. I invite anyone. If they give me real reasons, DM at the Soda Pod, DM at State of Hoppy. If you have real arguments for why those three, aside from injury, wouldn't be the top three teams in this division, hit us up. We will bring you on and I will go head to head. Let's hash this shit out. Then it really gets interesting after that, though, Isha. I really think neck and neck, like, there's reasons you can be optimistic about St. Louis. They're actually currently my six. Okay. They're the ones that I think will not make the playoffs. And then it really comes down to Chicago, Minnesota. And I fucking hate Chicago with all my being. I do not like that franchise at all. I like their fans even less. But God damn it, you look at what they did last year in a pretty competitive division. They were on the fringe and they were competing for playoff contention. And they only got better. Without their top two centers, with Duncan Keith instead of Seth Jones, which again, that contract fucking sucks long term. Seth Jones is an immediate upgrade on Duncan Keith. No questions asked. And guess what? Lankinen, great rookie goalie who showed up last year. Now they have Marc-Andre Fleury to worst case go 50-50 with that player and mentor him. This is a team that Wild fans should be more worried about. I'm currently like leaning lightly to Chicago being four, Minnesota being five, which could very well still get you in the playoffs. And actually, I'd argue I'd rather play Vegas than Colorado or one of the other two teams. So that's not a horrible thing. But again, the Wild absolutely have that ceiling of getting up to a three. I just right now, I can't say that without knowing what we're going to see from some of those younger players in this new decor. So I got them kind of hovering in that 4-5 area, and it's literally like Chicago I'd put ahead by like 1 or 2 points kind of thing.
Yeah, unless you see Saros carries Nashville to a third spot. Anyways, anything else on Kaprizov right now? Obviously, there'll be more stories on him leading up to us on our Monday episode. Did you see anything else on Twitter other than Brett Marshall's amazing video that he posted?
First off, yes. Every shout out in the world goes to Brett Marshall. Yeah. Like we've seen some fun stuff, people getting creative, and everyone knows that we here love when you can tie like something from TV, like pop culture to hockey, make it fit right. And sometimes it like feels a little forced. Dude, this meshed together so fucking well. Anyone that hasn't checked it out, go check out Brett Marshall. And guess what? If you're following us, you're easily following him on Twitter. And look at his pinned tweet. It was poetic. It was genius. I literally sat there waiting the whole time. There were a couple where, like, you'll watch the video and this will make sense. But, like, the guy who's representing Kaprizov is, like, hesitating before getting excited with someone. And every time, I'm like, oh, here comes Rask. Here comes Rask. Oh, fuck. No, he's happy. He's happy. And at the very end, it hit. And it was just so satisfying. But what really got me, man, was literally it was so perfect. There's two babies that the guy greets. And both of them get labeled as Rossi and Boldy. And it's just like, you thought this shit through so well. Brett, I mean, I know he listens to us occasionally. Good friend of the podcast. Brett, this is some of the best work I've seen in a while. And it kind of, I guess, transitions in a way here too, Isha, to that 1C thing. Like, absolute worst case scenario, Kaprizov is stuck with Rask for one more year. We hope that's not the case. And I think when we get together on Sunday to collaborate for our Monday episode, we're going to talk a lot about potential line combos here.
Like, oh, yeah,
we want everyone to give us, whether it's DM, comments, whatever, tell us what you see for these line combinations. Like, we want to know what people are thinking, but we're definitely going to come in with some ideas of our own on how this could lay out, because I've already come up with like three valid options in my own head, and I'm trying to figure out which one I like the most. But we want to hear from you guys. We want to kind of crowdsource, but we also are going to definitely come through and tell you what each of our individual opinions are. But we'd love to be able to give like a soda pod listener, like, here's kind of the consensus of what we're seeing from the people, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Excited for that as well. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. And right after that, jump into a new segment here. Some soda teasers for you folks. And Hoppy will jump into that on the other side. You're listening to this bonus episode of the Soda Pod, a Kirill Kaprizov special. Cheers to you, sir. Week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sportsbook betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state or province, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
All right, we have the first installment of hopefully what we're going to do here weekly for DraftKings. Again, promo code THPN. Obviously, you're already going there for all of your daily fantasy needs, but for those that might be listening outside of Minnesota, or hey, let's just keep our fingers crossed that soon enough we'll be able to bet here, folks. I'm praying alongside you. We're going to talk through what a teaser is for football, which sometimes in the NFL, NCAA, doesn't matter. A lot of times it can be somewhat of a sucker type bet, but when it makes sense to do, it can be a valid betting option. So for those of you just asking initially, what the hell is a teaser? Basic example here, talking here again off of the DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, promo code THPN. Just random picks here because I know this is a Minnesota listenership. So we'll just say that we're going to bet on the Vikings and bet against the Packers every week when I give this example. It just makes sense, right? And actually, a lot of you will probably go the other way because you want to hedge your happiness. Kudos. That's how my brother bets, and I think it's disgusting. But you do you, sickos. So the Minnesota Vikings right now are on the point spread, a plus 1.5 against the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to use them as the first leg of our teaser. The Packers, plus 3 against the San Francisco 49ers. we are betting against them. So we're going to take the San Francisco 49ers minus 3. Okay. Now, what happens when we do a teaser? It's essentially a parlay, which I guess I'll take a step back here. A parlay is when you take two bets, put them together, and you're saying that both things will occur. Meaning, if one doesn't happen, you lose the bet. But if both happen, you make more money than if you were to bet both individually. Makes sense, right? So, for a teaser, what we're doing is saying that the Niners are going to win, minus 3. Vikings going to win with that plus 1.5. But because we're teasing it, we are saying both outcomes will occur, but we're getting a 6-point benefit in our favor. So that means that the San Francisco 49ers are actually getting 3 points and the Minnesota Vikings are getting just over a touchdown at plus 0.75. Again, if either doesn't happen, that's a wash. You lose. But if you do win both, you're coming in typically, depending on the sports book and depending on whatever caveat there is, it's going to be a minus 120 bet, which anyone that's completely new to betting, let's talk through the plus minus, Isha, real quick. If it's plus 150, for example, we'll make it easy. That means me betting $100, I would win 150 if it's the correct outcome. Let's say it's minus 150. I have to bet 150 to win 100, okay? Because it's saying that it's a more likely than not outcome. So you have to bet more to win less, but obviously if you're betting on that, you kind of know that going in, right? So minus 120 payout means, let's keep this simple and safe for the nice family-friendly listeners. If I bet $12 at minus 120 and I win, I'm getting my 12 back, and I'm winning from that platform an additional $10, okay? Now, what we're going to do here is crazy, unadvised, because it's kind of a sucker bet, even beyond a teaser. We're going to be putting 4 of these together every week. We're going to track our progress, and we're going to see where we end up at the end of the year after missing the first 2 weeks, which is unfortunate because at week 1, throw everything out the window because no one knew what to expect with some of the teams. Week 2, I probably would have had a winner there, but we're going to move past that, Isha. And Isha, being newer to the American football, the NFL, he's going to be kind of learning alongside, and we're all going to try and suck him into the black hole that is the happiest and saddest you can be, which is watching and betting on NFL football. Isha, especially welcome Vikings. To the cult. Welcome especially, to the cult. Yeah, especially
Vikings. Thank you. Fuck. Thank you. Especially Vikings football.
Fucking. Holy shit. So what we're going to do here, stay on brand. We're going to have the weekly soda teaser presented by DraftKings, promo code THPN. Isha has a mini boner right now.
Every time he says it.
For the S, we're going safe. And for me, safe is really defined as a team that is sitting at minus, give or take, we'll call 7 to like 8.5. I'm afraid of 9 because that pushes us with that 6 to that realm of a field goal where we're going to push if you win by 3 on that field goal at the end. So maybe we'll do a 9 at some point, but preferably I'm looking right in that sweet spot of 7 to 8.5 of a team that I'm looking at and saying, this is a no-brainer. This team will win. Next one for the O of soda is over because guess what, folks? Life's too short to bet the under. We saw that with the Kaprizov bet that I posted. And guess what, Isha? On the Friday episode with Lupulin, we are going to be dropping the winner of that gift card. So please tune in, check it out, and we will be giving away that $100 brewery gift card to a brewery of your choice. But the winner of that, guess what? They picked all over, Zisha. God damn it. It all proves true. The T is a personal favorite, and I got this from the great podcast of Pardon My Take. If you're a football fan at all, they are comedic gold, even if you are one of those who is anti-Barstool. I can assure you, all the reasons you hate Barstool, which I can understand, I've never heard any of it come across on their podcast, and they are the most entertaining football-based podcast that I've ever listened to. That's not even close. Okay. But they're the ones that always say when they're betting their over-unders, too many points. Like, yeah, this team's going to fucking lose. There's no doubt about it, but you're giving them too many points. So we're going to pick one there. My general rule of thumb is it's going to be a plus 10 or more. And I'm going to have at least like a little faith that they can kind of hang in the game kind of thing. And the last one is advocate, meaning devil's advocate. And it's always going to be a Minnesota Vikings pick, hashtag skull. If the Vikings are the underdog, we're going with them. We're going to add on to those points that they've already gotten. Give me another six. Let's fucking go. Or if the Vikings are favored, tell you what, we aren't counting on them to win by a ton of points. So if the other team can get more than a touchdown benefit, hey, Vikings might win the game and we might win some money. Why not fucking roll with it, right? And then when they lose, guess what? We're even happier on the betting front. And it soothes our soul a little bit that has already been shredded and taken away. So a lot of introduction here. We'll maybe give you a recap in the next couple here as we roll this out, just for those, again, that aren't familiar with the betting landscape, because, again, fuck Minnesota legislation. Let us fucking bet. I'm not ruining my family here. I don't have a problem, but if you do have a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER, don't hesitate. So, Isha, let's hit it here. I'm going to go through mine. You let me know if you have any you want to interject, okay? So for the safe bet, going right in line with what I said, the Buffalo Bills against the Washington football team. Again, these point spreads here are given by DraftKings. Promo code take, Isha. Waistband. Buffalo Bills, -7.5. If they lose this game with no starting quarterback, they got a backup thrown in, defense is underperformed, and Bills are churning on all cylinders. I'm willing to lose this teaser just off of this game because I bet most bettors are chomping at the bit right now, putting a ton of teasers together just based on the Bills and tying other teams in. So give me Buffalo Bills at a -1.5. on this teaser at a minimum, because I will tell you, I apologize, I didn't include this earlier. When you add more teams to the teaser leg, four teams, we have options. We can either get a few more points or we can have a bigger payout than that -120. And we get to the end here. Again, if you want to look up the different payouts, I'm going to leave that to you guys because I'm not going to go through all the math. But I will let you know where we end, at least specifically for this, on what the minus, plus, whatever is, and what our rough payout would be. Largely, I'm probably going to stick with the six if I can, but who knows? It might make more sense to push with some of the big key numbers, like the three, like the six, and like the eight in the NFL. So, Buffalo Bills, -1.5 for the S of soda. The O, because again, we do not bet the under. Life is just too short, Isha. We are going with, and this is unadvised because this is a pretty high over-under. I usually don't do this, but this is the first one, so let's just...
We got to have fun with it.
Balls on the table here, man. Yeah. Over-under 55 for Kansas City Chiefs versus LA Chargers. I don't see how this isn't a barn burner game. Like, both offenses are going off. Chiefs, I mean, they're almost a guaranteed 35. And I think Chargers are going to keep this interesting. This is going to be a close game. And I just think that if we tease that down again, minimum to a 49, I don't see how we're not hitting that. So again, book it. We're adding the Kansas City Chiefs, LA Chargers, over under a 55. We are taking the over. We are never betting the under. And we're actually teasing that down at a minimum to 49. Next one, too many points. It's interesting, Isha, because only one fits the category. You said it as we read through this list, and I'm okay with this one. We have the New York Jets. Yes, the New York Jets, who Zach Wilson just threw four interceptions. Now, granted, it was against a formidable opponent, so it's like somewhat understandable. They're getting 10 right now against a Denver Broncos team that... they're solid. They have an okay defense, but I'm not really sure that this is a team that's for real yet. And if you're telling me again, minimum, I'm getting 6 points added here for the Jets. That's a +16. That's two full scores. We're talking max scores, two, that they get on the Broncos. It's too many points, man. Let's do it. And the last one, I'm guessing anyone who's listening and can comprehend what I'm going through here knows what the final bet is for advocate, devil's advocate. People are telling us the Seahawks are going to win. I say, fuck them. Minnesota Vikings plus 1.5. We're teasing them up again, minimum to a plus 7.5. So that's basically saying that if Seahawks win by a touchdown, you're still winning that part of the teaser. So absolutely give it to me. I think Vikings, again, there's been some mistakes. There's been some clock management. You can call it whatever the hell you want. There's been plenty of problems with the Vikings, but you see the talent on the field and the defense is better. Kirk Cousins isn't blowing these games. And honestly, I don't think the Seahawks are anything special. Like, they're not a bad team. This will be a really interesting game and a good test to see where both teams are at. But you're going to give me a touchdown for the Vikings? Yeah, let's give her.
No, so, you said it there. Like, these teams are kind of middle of the pack. Let's see how well they actually play against each other and where they actually rank amongst, you know, that mid to top tier of NFL teams.
For sure. Now, the one I'll throw in there, because I'll always throw in some backup options, and this one's a little weird. Again, not one that I would advise to most, but I mean, I like to have fun. I'm probably going to bet on it. Oh, well, if I could bet, of course, there's no way for me in Minnesota to bet. Duh. Okay. We're moving past that. An interesting game for me that I think could be competitive and close is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the LA Rams. And we're looking at a 1.5 point spread here. I think that Tampa has taken liberties on teams that, like, yeah, Dallas is solid. They got a good offense, but the defense can't keep up with the Bucs. And yeah, they pummeled the Atlanta Falcons. Who gives a shit? LA Rams have played well, and they're at home. And I mean, we can make all the jokes we want about what an LA home team advantage means, but this is a different LA Rams team. And especially early in this year, I want to bet on them quite a bit just because you look at their top line talent. They have one of the best rosters in the league. As soon as a couple of those players get hurt, zero depth, they are fucked. So right now, when they're getting 1.5 points, I'm adding 6 to it to make it 7.5 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm willing to bet that the LA Rams talent can keep it within a touchdown against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So again, that's not one that's included on the official Soda teaser, unless Isha wants to override the amazing Buffalo pick. But I think that that's one that's just worth bringing up, because in the future, bets like that are something that I'll consider, where again, it's not fitting that 7 to 8.5 rule for the safe pick, but it's one of those where I actually like LA Rams to win the game outright. And if you're going to give me a touchdown as part of a teaser, yeah, it seems like a safe bet from my vantage point. Isha, anything though that stands out, again, whether it's part of the Soda teaser or not, like anything that stands out to you as being interesting if you were to include it in any kind of teaser leg with that 6-point swing?
Not really. I mean, you did an awesome job of identifying them all. And the more and more, like, I learn the ins and outs of this too, and the more experience I get, because I'm still new to betting. I'm still a couple months into this. And again, like the same sentiment goes to the rest of Canada, as we only have one province here that allows sports betting as well. For the most part, not really a juicy spread for and, you know, options here. You kind of highlighted everything we needed to. I love how, like you said, you're like, all right, Isha, let's look for a plus 10, look for a plus 10. It was like, boom, of course.
There was one.
And of course it was the New York Jets.
And you know what? I don't think they're as bad of a team as they've been labeled. Again, it's easy to point at those 4 interceptions for Zach Wilson last week, who is a rookie quarterback. That's going to happen. Those are learning opportunities for the guy. It's unfortunate that the offensive line is losing some guys, but I think the defense probably hasn't gotten quite the credit that it should. Again, it's not anything spectacular, but it's a team that I think, against a team that I view in the Denver Broncos as being slightly overrated with what they've done so far. I just think that if you're giving me 16 points, I'm comfortable going into battle and saying, hey, let's see what the hell happens. But so just so everyone knows, I'll kind of, for this one, maybe Isha, I'll walk through the options. Okay. So right now we have, again, Buffalo Bills -1.5 against the Washington football team. We've got the LA Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs over under. It's been teased down to 49. We have the New York Jets teased up to +16 and the Minnesota Vikings +7.5. They're going to lose by 8 and it's going to crush my dreams in multiple ways, but that's another discussion. If we went with all of those at the 6 movement, we'd be getting +260 on this bet if they all hit. Okay. Ooh. That means Scott Betts, Hoppy Betts, fuck you, Isha, God damn it. Bets $10. I'd win my 10 back, obviously. So that's not part of the bet. And I'd win an additional $26. Now, if I wanted to make that 6.5 points, because again, sometimes that might matter for barely moving the line, because we don't want to be on like a solid 7 or a solid 3, because that leads to those nasty pushes. And I'd rather give up a little bit of money to make sure that I win the bet. So that is 6.5 at +230. So again, 10 bucks nets me my money back and $23. Not a crazy amount to give up. We could go 7 points for +200. So 10 bucks, get my money back, 20 bucks additional. And then interesting, so a betting platform that one might hypothetically use when they can't legally bet in Minnesota, I usually have a 10-point option. That's not here, so we're skipping right to the 13-point teaser, which is -140. But again, that's adding 13 points to all those bets. If you'd rather take the safer route, which again, we've seen blowout games. We just watched the Buffalo Bills absolutely annihilate the Miami Dolphins. Didn't help that Tua got hurt early, which really screwed some of my fantasy teams, which is a bummer. They won, I think, 35-0, give or take. I think there might have been a couple points scored, I don't know, by Miami. But that's going to cover any kind of 13-point movement, right? Shit happens in the NFL, and that's why a 4-team teaser leg is largely viewed as a sucker bet. We're having fun here. We're going to see how this tracks throughout the year. So for this first one, Isha, I'm just holding strong, and by the typical teaser code, we're saying that the Soda Pod is hypothetically wagering fake, fuck, let's call it Canadian dollars, because those are fake anyways. It's Monopoly money. We are betting 10 Monopoly dollars on the 6-point teaser. That's +260. Let's see where we come out after this week. We'll obviously be addressing it. Well, we don't have any Monday bets, actually, so we can address this when we record again Sunday for the Monday show. Let's see where we sit. We're either going to come out 10 in the hole, or we're going to come out 26 in the green. Isha, again, not at all a shot. Like, obviously, you followed more CFL than NFL. I'm excited for you to kind of get immersed into this, see if we you more into NFL football and learn some of the betting angles here so that you can come in and chirp me and be like, nah, man, fuck you. I have a way better tee.
Yeah, man. I'm excited too. Excited for this segment. Excited to make some money with our friends at DraftKings. Promo code THPN.
Great cash, homie.
All right, folks. We're actually going to present to you a promotional clip, a little teaser, a segment from the Brewery Travels podcast from the latest episode where Joel connected with some folks from Phoenix, Arizona. Great conversation there, great segment that you'll hear momentarily. If you're a fan of the show, if you're a fan of what Joel's been doing, if you're a fan of his blog, website, Twitter account, and now podcast, hey, go back, check out the back catalog. He's just started. He just hit up Missoula, Minneapolis, and Cincinnati and hooked up with the great folks there who cover all things craft beer and some of the best breweries and beers to get in those cities and, well, in the state, just beyond those cities as well. So on the other side here, momentarily, you'll hear a promotional clip, a segment from the latest Brewery Travels episode here on the Soda Pod.
All All right, folks, you just heard again a quick promo clip of our friend with Brewery Travels really hitting on the Phoenix scene. Again, I recommend this highly to anyone. This is a guy that's traveled across the country. Like, the family travels time and time again because his wife's a traveling nurse and really hits up all the hot spots for beer. Like, me personally, obviously, I love the Minnesota craft beer scene, right? You've heard me talk about it plenty. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not someone that travels for beer. That's not something I do. But guess what? He's going to hit a lot of destinations that you're going to travel. You're going to go to Arizona in the winter if you're living in Minnesota. Let's be fucking honest. You want to go out to Glacier National Park and you want to hit Montana in the summer for the national parks. Like, he's going to give you the guide. And it's fun. It's cool beer knowledge if you're a beer nerd at all. But even if you're not, listen in and get an understanding because you're going to hit these cities at some point. And it's fun to just tie the beer scene going out to a couple breweries into that travel if you happen to be hitting those different hubs. Like, I couldn't recommend it more. Again, give it a couple listens, subscribe. It's something that's going to be interesting and bring a different flair every week. If you're, of course, a beer person, if you're just here listening to us for hockey at Kaprizov, then probably don't subscribe.
Kansas City and San Diego coming up too. So, you know,
big ones.
From east to west, north to south, the great USA, the Brewery Travels podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited for that place to open. Like, it's an old, like, legendary, like, Halloween shop on, like, McDowell and Phoenix.
Oh,
yeah.
Super interesting.
They're not too far from, Joel, another area in downtown called Roosevelt Row that has some fantastic breweries, a couple of fantastic beer bars, great little shops. Very, very Phoenix.
Yeah.
That area.
And they do, like, art walks. Like, it's an arts district. Like, it's first Friday they have. I don't know if they close the road off at a certain point.
I think they do.
Yeah. I mean, you have Arizona Wilderness, Greenwood, great tap rooms down there, great food. Like, and to piggyback, well, since we're on the topic again, I wanted to go back. This is something I want to do, Greg.
Yeah.
I'd like to get your opinion on this. Is I want to do a light rail tour, right? Because there's a light rail that's pretty new in Phoenix, but it basically starts over in Mesa, where, like, you have Cider Core. Cider Core,
which is a winery, not a brewery, but still,
it is.
If it was a brewery, I'd have been to 1001 by now.
That's right. That's true. Technically speaking, yeah. But so this light rail goes all the way through Tempe. It goes through right through downtown Phoenix, and it ends in like uptown Phoenix area. So I want to do, like, if you're brave enough to brave the light rail, which my wife's like, I would not do that. I'm like, well, I wouldn't expect you to. Yeah. Yeah. But you take the light rail and there's a lot of places you can go. But come back to me on that one. And when you come into town, Joel, we'll take you on the light rail tour.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Eric, did you have anything to add in terms of, like, looking forward, like, bigger picture, like what you see potentially kind of going on in the future for the Phoenix craft beer scene?
Yeah, so packaging, right? Retail. Mm-hmm. This place, perfect example. Marshall opened up in January of 2020. And I was here when I realized COVID was, like, the real deal. It was the night they canceled the NBA and Tom Hanks got COVID. So I was here on playing trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, shit, man. Like, it's getting real. Sorry, but I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
No, you're good. You're good.
Folks, first of many moving forward for these gift card giveaways. Again, thank you to everyone that entered the over-under for Kirill Kaprizov's contract signing. No shock here. Over-hit every time. because, again, life is too short to bet the under. Always go to DraftKings, promo code THPN. But we're going to be resolving these gift cards moving forward with a little something called wheelofnames.com. And if anyone has better or more creative ways for me to do this, I am always all ears. I am now clicking to spin among those who posted the over for every answer and retweeted the post per instructions. I am now clicking, and we will have a winner here. Hey, look at that. We have a victor from the 10K Takes family, hashtag free 10K. Our buddy Rhett Zepper. Congrats, Rhett. Shoot a DM to either at State of Hoppy or at the Soda Pod. We'll get you taken care of, bud. We'll get you that $100 gift card, any brewery of your choice. Again, Rhett Zepper at Rhett Zepper. Congrats, bud. And looking forward to hearing which one you'd like to select.
Well, Hoppy, that's it. That's the bonus show, a little Kaprizov talk, a little throw to the soda teasers, and a great promotional clip and segment, a piece of the Last Brewery Travels podcast. Again, encourage you all to subscribe to that. Usually we don't come behind the mic here on Thursdays, Hoppy, but given the news that we got out of Minnesota, out of the Minnesota Wild with Kaprizov, we knew we had to do something for all of you. Please, though, check out the episode if you're a fan of beer, if you're a fan of Minnesota craft beer, the next episode, the episode that's airing tomorrow, the Friday episode, episode 205 of the Soda Pod, featuring our friends from Lupulin. We just got off a call with them, Hoppy, and I'm still buzzing. My voice is fading, but I'm still buzzing.
And I don't just say this because I think the listeners know by now I'm not really a bullshitter unless it's just for Judge Joey and I need to win an argument. Like, even if you're not like super into beer, this was a pretty fun one. Like, we just took some interesting turns. Like, these are very entertaining characters. The great brewers at Lupulin up in Big Lake, Minnesota. Mike, Justin, we love you guys. Absolutely, we'll have you back on at some point down the road. But again, this is the one time that even if you're not like a beer nerd or don't give a shit about craft beer in Minnesota, you might even like this at Kaprizov.
There's some biology tips in here as well.
All right, that's a good enough teaser. It's vague enough.
Yeah, like straight chemistry and sexuality. But anyways, we hit everything shit in that episode. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. But that's it for the show today, folks. Again, thanks for tuning in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever the hell you get your podcasts from. The best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a kind review as well. Go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com, if you're jonesing for more hockey podcast content. And on your app, please download the episodes before you listen, as it just helps our business. Don't forget to follow myself at The Ice Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at The Soda Pod. You can follow Hoppy where?
At State of Hoppy.
And you can follow the Hockey Podcast Network and all their great shows at HockeyPodNet. We'll see you tomorrow on Friday with our friends from Lupinen signing off. I'm Isha Dromi alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been a bonus episode of the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We great.
Don't fear. Kaprizov is fucking here. Stay wild.